always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie. That is some Perry Woods music. It's Perry Woods Friday. Support local music. Great stuff there from our buddy Perry. Download his music. And after you downloaded all of Perry's music, download other local musicians as well. And as I said, support local music. Welcome back. I'm Tony Colombo. That's Katie Fitzpatrick. Big thank you to Steve Templeton, chief meteorologist at Channel 4, for that weekend forecast just a moment ago. If you missed it, it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
Mm-hmm.
84 tomorrow, 87 on Sunday.
Beautiful. I love 80s.
Just a little bit of clouds. Going to be nice, dry, sunny both days. Tonight's getting all the way down to 47.
Hey.
Yeah, which is wild. I mean, it's going to, in 12 hours, it's going to be a 40 degree warm up.
Wow.
That is St. Louis in April. He did say about the allergies that it's, to steal one of your terms, it's buck wild out there.
It's buck wild. I'm telling you.
With these allergies out there. So take your allergy medicine and enjoy a great weekend this weekend. Also, want to say thank you to Ken Williams from the Vic Borselli Show and Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning for joining us in that last hour. If you missed any of those great conversations, just make sure you are subscribed to the Columbo and Katie podcast, because we put this show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every day. We put it on every podcast platform, so whatever your favorite podcast platform is, wherever you get your podcast, make sure you subscribe to Columbo and Katie so you never miss anything that happens here on the show. Okay, I wrote an article this week that you can find at newstalkstl.com. Oh, and also, you know what? It's a perfect opportunity. This is my look. My radio instincts just kicking in here.
What's going on? What are you thinking?
My article. Not only newstalkstl.com, but you put it in the newsletter.
Sure did.
If people want to make sure that they get that fantastic newsletter so they can see the articles that, you know, I write, or Virginia Cruda, Chris, the videos that we do each and every week. Lots of great, cool stuff in our weekly newsletter. Remind people about that newsletter and how they can sign
up for it. Absolutely. Go to newstalkstl.com. You can find our newsletter sign up under the Connect button. So newstalkstl.com, go to Connect, and you will find our sign up for the newsletter. We send it out every single week. It's got really cool content, as Tony just pointed out. We have articles that are written by the hosts and people around Newstalk STL. We have clips from shows that you might have missed, podcast highlights, fun videos, all of that cool stuff, and then also previews for events that might be coming up at Newstalk STL. So go to newstalkstl.com, click on Connect, and you will see the Newstalk, you will see the newsletter sign up right there at newstalkstl.com.
So I have been very much into following what's happening in the state of California since that $20 minimum wage went into effect on April 1st. And if anybody thinks, you know, well, why are you so worried about, why are you covering a story, a California story, so closely? Well, it's because this is the thing. This is being pushed nationally. So this could happen here. It's what the only good thing about this happening in California is it gives us a real world example, a real sample size of what happens to jobs, restaurants, the economy when something like this goes into place.
Yeah.
So, and especially since the governor of California has just about as good a chance at being the next president as Donald Trump and Joe Biden do. Mm-hmm. I think this is obviously something that is in the best interest of all Americans to understand and monitor. So, again, I have an article about this exact situation that you can read at newstalkstl.com right now. And another brand new headline out today. One McDonald's franchise owner, Scott Roderick, is considering higher menu prices and reduced hours saying that layoffs are the last thing he wants to do, but that, quote, the last 12 days since this unprecedented law impacted franchisees in California has literally been a whirlwind. Frankly, it feels like an eternity, unquote. He goes on to say, quote, I realize that my customers' appetite for higher prices is not unlimited. So when I take price to relieve margin pressure, it has to be done thoughtfully and with a plan. Charging $10 for an Egg McMuffin or $20 for a Big Mac is not an option. In anticipation of the new law, Roderick lifted his prices 5 to 7% between January and March, but he says that that has not been enough and he's still losing money. So here's a McDonald's franchise owner. He owns 18 McDonald's in the state of California. Starting in January, he started raising prices. He's raised the prices across the board between 5 and 7% in order to try to have a buffer in place for when this new law hit. And he says it's still not enough. He's still losing money. He warned that the new law is likely to have an unprecedented impact on California's franchise business model, saying, quote, price is a lever that an independent business owner like myself can look at to relieve this extraordinary, unprecedented impact on the franchise business model in California. But there are many other things, too. I have to somehow grow revenue and reduce costs in my P&L to survive. He says cutting hours of employees and the hours of the restaurant itself is what he's looking at doing next. And that, quote, right now the focus is survival. And a third generation daughter that has just joined the business. So the question I have to ask her is whether she believes her next 50 years should be in a place like California and grinding it out, or is operating a franchise somewhere else in the country something that would be smarter for her to do? So this is a guy who is a second generation owner of McDonald's in California. He inherited the franchises from his dad, and he's going to pass this on to his daughter. They own 18 McDonald's in California, and he's saying right now the conversation he's having with his family is, do we continue to build off this legacy in California of being of operating McDonald's for the last 50 years? Or is it time to go elsewhere because we can't survive here anymore? And it's really, really, it's all about the $20 minimum wage. I mean, there's other factors, of course, but this would not be happening if it wasn't for that law being put into place.
The ripple effect that happens because of something like this, because of the 20-hour minimum wage, Democrats, progressives don't think about that.
They don't think about it and they don't care about it.
Yeah, they don't care about it. They don't care that the minute that you think, let's do $20 an hour because that's what people can, that's what they people need to live off of right now. That should be the standard, whatever reason they give. Don't understand that now that the one percenter that they're trying so deeply to get, that CEO or the people that are the franchise owners, whoever they're trying to get in that process to pay their fair share, now has a choice to say, don't really need to be in California anymore. And what I was building here in California that was super lucrative for the area, super lucrative for me, but also provided jobs for other people, don't have to do that here in California. I'll go to Missouri. I'll go to Illinois. I'll go to Arkansas. And when I go there, it'll be a different set of standards and I can make a legacy elsewhere. It goes back to Trump having these lawsuits against him for his companies in New York and Letitia James saying, get him for this, get him for that, get him for this, because all of this wasn't legal in his handlings of these businesses, Trump Tower and all these things in New York. Well, now people are evaluating that, as we've discussed over and over again, that are realtor giants that have all these big companies saying, we don't need to be in New York anymore. If these are the penalties that we're going to get for just doing regular day-to-day business and operating how we always have, we don't need to be in New York anymore. Mm-hmm. These coastal states need to wake up and realize people are happy to go somewhere else, from celebrities like Katy Perry all the way to a franchise owner of McDonald's. They don't give a rip about being there anymore. If you're going to change the game on them, they can go somewhere else.
Yep. And in the long run, all of the people that you're pretending to be a hero to, you're hurting them.
Lose a job.
We saw people, we did that story last week about these fast food workers that are losing their job that wanted to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
That said, look, we are actively waiving our right to the $20 minimum wage. Just keep paying us the $15 an hour or $13 an hour or whatever so we can keep our jobs. We don't want the $20. We would rather have our job. We'll sign. And it's like, oh, no, we're doing you a favor with this $20. And it's not even, I mean, in some cases, it's business owners firing people, cutting jobs to make it work. But in a lot of cases, it's the restaurants are just going out of business.
Yeah.
That there isn't even, it's not your hours are getting cut or your job's getting cut. The restaurant is closing because they can't pay these prices. And they know it. The Democrats know it.
They just don't care.
Yeah, they know that this is the way it's going to happen. But they think we're all so stupid. They think that especially minimum wage workers are so stupid that they can just go, hey, look, we're fighting for you. It's these evil business owners, which again, these evil business owners aren't winning when their restaurants are closing.
No.
And in many cases, these small business owners or even McDonald's, this Roderick guy is probably fine. Him and his family have owned 18 McDonald's for 50 years. They're probably fine. But the average like person that owns one or two McDonald's, if their McDonald's goes out of business, they're not able to feed their family anymore either. It's not like they're just these business owners are sitting on their high horse. I mean, small business owners everywhere are, you know, just as if they lose their business, they're in the same position that the employees that just lost their job are in. Like they can't feed their families anymore either. And so, I mean, it's this guy, like he said, like cutting hours, not just cutting employees' hours, but like cutting back the hours of the restaurant. Remember when before COVID, when everything was open 24 hours?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
All the fast food restaurants were open 24 hours. Schnucks was open 24 hours. Now nothing's open 24 hours. Now everything's closing early. And that's like his thing here is like, you know what? We used to close at midnight. Now I'm probably going to have to close at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Just to shave more operating hours off. We used to open at 5 a.m. Now we're going to open at 6 a.m.
And guess what? We're going to have three people working inside.
Yeah.
We're going to have two or three people working inside. Your food will be delayed. It'll probably be cold.
Yeah.
Might be wrong.
Right.
But that's the way it has to work now.
It's the way it has to work now. All because Democrats are scoring a victory for the working man. Which is such a joke.
And I want to emphasize this point, specifically about fast food. If you are someone that works in fast food, more power to you. That's a really, really hard job. That's you're working your butt off.
And it's getting harder now.
Yeah.
Because you're getting less help.
Totally. You're working your buns off and you're doing what you need to do to provide for yourself. But a lot of folks that are working these positions are also 16 and 17 year olds who are trying to learn how to have the skill sets at their very first job, at a beginner's job, to learn how to function when they grow up and they become an adult. And you're taking away that opportunity for someone to learn at that age how to function and how to be at a first-time job and struggle a little bit and figure out how to work a cash register, deal with money, deal with people, deal with hours. Now that opportunity is stripped away because they're probably not going to hire people at that are 16 and 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Mike Pence has a new gig. I said, isn't everybody hanging on the edge of their seats to find out
where he at?
Mike Pence will be teaching a course at Grove City College, a conservative Christian school located in Grove City, Pennsylvania.
I do like Mike Pence.
Quote, it was an honor to be on campus today and see President Paul McNulty and so many wonderful students. Pence tweeted yesterday with photos of him addressing the annual conference led by the Institute of Faith and Freedom. Pence will serve as the Distinguished Visiting Fellow for Faith and Public Life for the school's new Center of Faith and Public Life, which will explore and support the presence of Christian faith in public institutions. Pence said, quote, it is my great honor to serve as a visiting fellow to Grove City's College New Center for Faith and Public Life. Faith and engaging in public life are not mutually exclusive, nor should they ever be. History shows that Christians steadily working toward the common good have changed the world, and Grove City College opening a center shows they are committed to continuing that work. And so Mike Pence is going to be teaching a class.
You know what?
Good for Mike Pence.
I say good for Mike Pence.
I do, too.
I say good for him. I don't really care what he's doing or where he goes. This seems like a good fit, though. This seems like a good fit.
I totally agree. It seems like a good fit.
And I would rather pay for a course to be taught by Mike Pence than have to be at a course talking about how great Taylor Swift is and how the world could benefit from learning a thing or two about Taylor Swift at Harvard.
And how Taylor Swift's music highlights the patriarchy and toxic masculinity and white supremacy.
Good for Mike.
Good for Mike is right. You know, one of the things that I will never, ever understand, from an outsider looking in to the Trump, sensation, Mike Pence was... I saw Mike Pence speak live at a very small event in front of about 100 people. Maybe not even that many. And he was carrying the water for Donald Trump. Just propping up Donald Trump, what we're doing, we're on the right track, we're making this country great again. He was the...
Dude.
He was the soldier of soldiers. And then he didn't vote to delay the election or whatever it is.
Which he couldn't have done.
And now which he could have done anyway. And now he's like persona non grata. Like, do the Trump people just still think that Mike Pence is this horrible, evil person? Because can you remember, like, outside of that one decision, which I know I could hear people go, that's a big decision. That's a big decision, of course. Like, you know, like, he was the dude for you for 4 years.
And he's a good person.
The dude.
Good guy.
Like, carrying the water.
There's issues with that.
I'll never get the Trump fans, like, absolute hatred of Mike Pence. Maybe. I'm not a huge Mike Pence. I don't think Mike Pence is great. I don't think Donald Trump is the greatest person in the world. I don't think Mike Pence is the greatest person in the world either. But I just am... still surprised at how much hatred there is. You love Donald Trump. You loved his presidency. You know this guy played a big role in that presidency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And brought a calming, consistent influence to those 4 years, right? Again, Mike Pence is by far my favorite person for president or to be in leadership. I'm not a big supporter of Pence in those areas at all, but I'm just saying, like, you guys were partners for 4 years,
and then you had one
fallout,
and it was hang Mike.
And now it's like he may as well die.
Yeah,
like,
he's what, a pariah?
I don't get it, and I never will. All right, we are getting ready to head off into what is going to be a very nice weekend. So let's lighten the mood, let's have a little fun, and let's do a little Friday fun time next on Columbo and Katie.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Whenever you're down, I'll be there to help you smile.
I think the same thing every day, Larry. Warning, warning, is anyone listening?
Warning, warning.
Is anyone listening? I just don't know.
Is anybody out there?
Is anybody here? Welcome back to Globo and Katie on 101.9 News Talk STL. A little Friday fun time here for you to send you off into the weekend, hopefully with a smile on your face. Looking at silly. What do you got? Warning, warning? What's the matter? I'm a what? Am I what? You all right?
I just said snot come out of my mouth.
What's wrong with you?
My nose. It's not out of my nose.
What's the matter with you?
What? Warning, warning. Okay, I'm done.
Am I what?
Okay, I'm done.
Baga!
I love... Larry is just
He's the best.
Warning, warning.
He's the best.
He's the best.
He's got the voice.
Baga. Biden against America. Great again. Biden Baga. Against America. Great again. Baga.
Yeah. Baga. He's the best.
Baga. Baga. Baga.
He's the best. He can't beat it. You just can't beat it. That's all it is.
Love him.
I'm looking back at some silly stories of the week to have a little Friday fun time. This one isn't necessarily Friday fun time. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. But what do you think about your boy Morgan Wallen throwing chairs?
You know,
this guy's an idiot, right? I don't know much about him.
Big dumb.
I don't know much about him. Maggie was kind of telling me about him. My 13-year-old daughter, who, you know, if I ever need help with hipness, she's my help. She's like, this guy's an idiot. She's like, Dad, this guy's an idiot. And I was like, yeah, that checks out.
To me, he is the epitome of young celebrity.
Yeah.
Who has the world on a string, who feels like they can do anything. And that includes throwing a chair off of a rooftop in Nashville and hitting people.
I hope he doesn't have the world on a string anymore after this, because that's big. That is big, big, big dumb.
And he's smiling in his mugshot. I mean, he is just... He blew up in the last several years, and his concerts are sold out completely and very expensive. I think he's living that life where he's just like drunk, stupid, stupid things.
Yeah. Talking about McDonald's earlier and their struggle to stay alive in the state of California, maybe this will help. McDonald's is debuting its first ever scented billboards.
Who's going to be able to smell them?
I think these are like the billboards that are like at bus, like on the ground.
Oh,
like at bus stations.
Okay,
like
I thought you meant like the big billboards. I'm like, well, who's gonna smell them?
No, these are the ones that are on the ground. These people are like, you know, in city areas when you're walking past them.
Oh, okay. Oh, that to me might be a bad combo.
Really? I think it might work.
You know what?
You walk by and all of a sudden you smell McDonald's French fries. You're going to tell me you're not all of a sudden going to be like, I want some McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, but the muskiness of the people, the passersby.
Oh, you think it's going to be a bad combo?
And then maybe like the trash buildup of like maybe the things happening in the street. So you think it's like
Big Macs are going to combine with BO and start turning into something bad?
Yeah, I think it might be the double B.
I was thinking it was actually a good move, but you're right. I guess maybe if things get ugly.
Like I'm thinking about New York. I'm thinking about New York City streets.
Right.
And like a waft of armpit, and then...
So they're trying them out in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
They're testing it in the Netherlands right now. And apparently all the people, the reports are that most of the people that walk by when they ask them what they smell like, they say they smell like French fries. They smell like McDonald's French fries.
Okay.
I could see that becoming a thing. And now, here we go.
If this works...
I mean, it's going to be like you're walking down the street and then like there's the McDonald's billboard. Mm. You smell French fries and then you walk by the donut shop billboard. Ooh, it smells like donuts. And then you go a little bit further and then it's this smell. We could be pumping a lot of smells into the air.
Yeah, that's true. We're the climate
activists.
That's
what it's like at Disney World.
Oh, I bet so.
They pump certain smells into certain rides.
I love that.
Into certain rides, into certain stores. So everything. And then certain resorts have their own like... Disney World resorts have their own smell.
Think about how powerful that sense is.
That's right. Disney figured that out decades ago. So this is probably a pretty smart move.
It's kind of crazy because to me, sight is the most obvious most powerful sense we have.
Mm-hmm.
But you almost become jaded when you see billboard after billboard. Like, it's not as appealing because you're seeing it so often. There's so much saturation. But when it comes to smell, that could be very powerful. Just, Disney World thing is a great example.
Mm-hmm. So this week, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, it was National Grilled Cheese Day.
Ooh, I love grilled cheese.
I do too. I love grilled cheese. Like, you cannot ever go wrong with a grilled cheese. No. Ever. However, because it was National Grilled Cheese Day, it sparked a debate online about how you're supposed to cut them.
Oh.
52% of America says you cut them diagonally. 21% say to cut them straight.
Oh, I've cut it straight.
Straight down the middle?
I'm
what are you, diagonal? A psychopath?
I grew
corner
up,
to corner.
I grew up diagonal. I grew up in a diagonal household.
I should hope so.
But then I've discovered.
Who cuts it down the center?
When I cut it down the center, there is more, to me, it feels like there is more gathering of the cheese.
So you have two little rectangle sandwiches instead of two triangle sandwiches?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely times I've cut it down the center.
Don't want to spend so much time on the floor.
But I'm telling you.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I've definitely done both.
I can't believe only 52% only cut it diagonally. 21% cut it vertically. 10% cut them horizontally.
It feels like, what?
Across the, this way.
Oh,
instead
no.
Up and down across the center?
No. I feel like the diagonal.
Which is the same cut, by the way, people. It's just whatever way you put them on the plate.
But the diagonal, it spreads the cheese out corner to corner.
Diagonal.
But then if you cut the
period.
Way I cut, the cheese kind of comes all to the center.
No.
Nope.
You're wrong.
17% people. 17% people don't cut them at all. I can handle that.
Either I
can't. Don't cut
That's
them
the
diagonal
worst.
Or don't cut them at all.
Uh-uh. That's the worst. Don't cut. You're going to eat that like a regular Sammy? No.
I got to read a couple of these real quick. It was also National Pet Day this week. And somebody printed the craziest names for various pets in the dog. The craziest dog names: Boots with the Fur,
amazing.
Chug Chug Pickles,
amazing.
Lord Waddles, Lulu the Conqueror,
fabulous.
How about cat names? Necronomicat,
no boo.
Steph Purry,
oh amazing.
Tony Baloney,
oh that's great.
Okay, I had to read them. I'm sorry. That's it. We'll be back on Monday at 2. Have a great weekend. Give it over the O'Reilly Report next in the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Have a great weekend.